This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. With almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in the games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you could do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. If you want to be part of the conversation, jump over to popculturist.com/questions. You can submit questions for this show and our new movie podcast, Popcorn. More conversation happens over on Facebook on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. And the behind the scenes conversation happens over on Patreon. com/thepopculturist. Jump over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you. And something I forgot to mention because it's still kind of new, we have Discord too.
Yeah.
So if you jump over to our Facebook group page, there
is a link. Ongoing conversation.
Yeah, for the ongoing conversation. There's a lot of conversations. Yeah,
everywhere.
There's a link to our Discord channel on our Facebook group page as well.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How's the things?
Yeah, it was a busy week this week.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. It's been fucking nuts for me too.
Not even like... because I haven't done anything this week for Pop C, just outside of Pop C. It's fucking busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just working and studying and web designing.
How is the studying? Coding. How is the web design studying going?
It's getting enjoyable now.
So it's finally fun?
Fun is subjective, but it's nice being able to see the fruits of your labor.
Ah, I know that pain.
Because I was spending a lot of time coding just in Notepad.
Yeah.
Because that's a text editor. That's what you need to write HTML. And then for some reason, after 15 hours into modules of the course, it mentions that there's programs you can get to code in which are better than Notepad. What the fuck didn't you mention this? So now I have a nice program that Joel recommended me that he uses. Very basic, but it has like numbers for your columns and it colors your code, certain codes to different colors. So when you're looking at it, you can visibly see.
You know what does you, what.
It's not just a block of black text on a screen. So yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's difficult. But it gets your creativity going too. It's fun. It's nice.
In the most mathematical way possible.
Yeah. Well, you feel smart. Like when you type a bunch of code, sit back and look at the screen, it's like 99% of people won't know what the fuck is on that screen. Oh, no, that feels good. Yeah. I typed it. I don't know what's on it. It's just.
I copied that.
I just type a bunch of tags and go, hey, look at all those tags. I can make websites.
So what have you been playing?
Well, in between that, Overwatch Summer Games started this week.
Of course it has.
So I've been playing some Lucio Ball.
Yeah, how is that with the booping?
It's fucking fun.
Good boops?
It's so fun. I did competitive.
Competitive boops?
You got to play 10 placement matches, with 8 and 2.
Okay.
That's good. I'm better at Lucio Ball than I am at Overwatch itself.
Cool.
If anything, I've noticed with Overwatch that I will never, ever be able to play that in any kind of competitive setting. I don't have the reflexes and I don't have the precision with the joystick. Maybe even on PC, I don't know.
Jack sensitivity up a little bit?
Yeah, but then I just swing too far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've played it for probably 70 hours over the last couple of months, plus my son playing it too. I love it, but I can never take it any further than just quick play.
That's a shame.
It's a shame, but, you know, I don't have the skills I had back in Modern Warfare 2 days.
Oh, thanks for back.
I was rad back then, man. I was the one, getting that nuke in the first couple of minutes and all that. Like, I had a few of those rounds. I was really good.
Oh, man. Yeah. You're the worst.
I'm not good at that.
I probably fought you at some point. Like, yeah. Oh, fucking.
Who's got the nuke in 30 seconds? What the fuck? But a game I am good at and can play competitively is Gwent.
It's still in beta, yeah?
Open beta now.
Open the beta. Yeah. I've been playing the closed beta.
A lot's changed. I've read since the closed beta. Okay. A lot has changed. What I like about it, because I jumped on Gwent, and then everyone in Discord's talking Hearthstone. I'm like, oh, I'll go back to Hearthstone, see what's going on there. And we're back to Gwent again. I was kind of going between them for a couple of days. I'm like, which one do I kind of want to sink my time into? And it's Gwent.
Mm.
The issue I have with Hearthstone, and even some of the pro level players say this, is there's too much RNG. It's too random. You can't. If your opponent plays a spell, a mage, and says, and the spell is put a random mage spell in your hand, you as the opponent, what are you supposed to play around? You don't know what they've got. And that, that's part of the game, but when you play it, you could either get the one spell that you need at the time to just win the fucking game, or you could get a piece of garbage and you just lose. And there is skill, but it's not... You don't... When you lose... I'm trying to find what I want to say. When I lose in Hearthstone, I feel like I lost a dice roll.
It doesn't feel like you earned it.
I don't feel like I got outplayed. Yeah. It's just I didn't get the right random cards I needed. Now, there is randomness in Gwent. You know, random hands and cards is the essentials to a collectible card game. But with Gwent, because the decks are only 25 cards instead of, I think, 30 in Hearthstone, but you start with 10 cards in your hand, and then every round you draw two more cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's a best of two of three is how Gwent works. You know, whoever wins two rounds first. But the thing is that in round, whatever you play in each round, it doesn't carry over to the next round. So it's more of a game of chess.
So you could essentially bust your nut with a big hunk of your deck.
You could play. You could fucking demolish the first round, but then you lose round two and three because you overcommitted in round one. See, it's a mind fucking game. It's bluffing. It's poker. It's chess. You know, you need to play just enough to make your opponent play that one extra card they didn't want to play just yet, but they have to because you've left them with no choice. You want to win the round and go into the next round with one extra card than your opponent, so you got card advantage for the next round. It's just when I win in Gwent, I feel like I played really well there, and when I lose, I can identify exactly why I lost
and where.
Yeah, it's like I got outplayed. I overcommitted in this round. I undercommitted in that round. I played wrong. I didn't know what I was playing against, so I didn't know what to expect. So whenever I lose in Gwent, I don't feel like throwing my controller across the room. Mm. Whereas in Hearthstone, it's like you just happened to get that one random card that won you the game.
Yeah,
I didn't get outplayed. That's not skill. That's just...
luck.
You got lucky. But Gwent, yeah, it feels very much like chess and poker, you know, forward planning.
Okay.
It feels very skillful. Really enjoying it.
I might have to jump back in.
Working my way up to competitive now.
Hey!
Not without its flaws. Because it is an open beta, it doesn't have a lot of cards to muck around with at the moment. Mm-hmm. There's a few, each faction, there's five factions, has two or three decent decks that you can make to kind of keep playing, but...
What is your faction of choice?
Skellige!
it was very aggressive.
Yeah, well, they're very loud.
Oh, okay, cool.
They're very loud. But the way Hearthstone does things is every few months they'll release a new expansion. So for the 3 or 4 months, you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas CD Projekt Red have said, you know, no, every month we'll put out another 20, we'll add another 20 cards into the pool. So you've always got that trickle of new cards coming in. But because it is an open beta, you got very, not very limited, but there are a few, if you want to play competitively, there are only a few, by a few, I mean, there's probably 7 or 8 different decks you can play to try to climb the ladder.
Okay.
But there's only one mode, which is play online.
Yeah, no local.
I mean, you can play...
You can play
AI, you can play casual, you can play ranked, and there's some challenges. Mm. But what I mean by different modes is you're always playing the same thing.
Okay.
You're always just playing the same game mode in any of those. Whereas, like, Hearthstone has... You play Standard, you play what they call Wild, they've got Tavern Brawl, they've got Arena, they've got Adventure Mode. So there's all these different... And they all play very, very differently. But Gwent's in open beta. You know, Hearthstone added all these features over the course of 5 years. So, you know, Gwent will get there. I have very high hopes for this game. It's just a game where when I win, I feel like I did good. I didn't get lucky. Like, if I win in Overwatch, I got lucky because I'm fucking terrible. But yeah, with Gwent, I feel good. And even when I lose, I feel good. Because I feel like at a loss, I still learn a lot too.
Yeah.
So yeah, good. What about you?
Speaking of card games, I finally jumped on the Elder Scrolls Legends on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Played about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to say about it because it's played for 20 minutes.
Just didn't.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, all right. I couldn't even tell you the basic mechanic. All I know is that, like, rather than sort of try to wipe out the number of characters, like, you could literally, so that you have you as the player and your hit points, then you have all your cards of varying hit points. I can dodge your cards and just take you out.
So yeah,
it kind of negates the points of having the cards because I'll just overstep your cards every time.
Yeah, but that's kind of how magic does it too, is that you can attack me or you can attack my creatures. Mm. You get to decide. But if you keep attacking me, then my board's going to get to a point where I can just go and fuck you. If you're not looking at my side of the board and going, should I be attacking him or is his board getting a bit out of control and I should be you know, whittling his creatures away before I get swarmed. You know what I mean? It's a little bit forward thinking that, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, because like, because a lot of the games I've only sort of played a lot of the basic story, and I'm just like, fuck the creatures. I'm just
attack.
Yeah, one. Okay, but. That's about as much time I put into that.
Oh, okay.
So, as you would have known by the stream on Thursday, Dylan and I played Super Hot VR.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking ton of fun. Incredibly frustrating. So, the best way to explain Super Hot is it's a first-person shooter puzzler.
Mm.
So, you are shooting and you are throwing knives and ninja stars and shit, but you have to think of it like a puzzle game.
I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that.
So you come in, you do a quick... Because you got in the VR, you can do a quick scan of the room. Like, okay, I can see a guy there, a guy there, there's a guy there. I know there's a door there, so more's going to spawn from there. So then you think accordingly. Like, okay, cool. In my reach, I've got a bottle, a gun, and a knife. He's going to bum rush me, whip the bottle at him, you know, then grab the knife, whip at that guy, shoot the...
See, it's if you're not moving, they're moving super slow-mo. Is that right?
So the way it works, it's all about when you move. So time moves when you do. So you can stand there and you can look around and it doesn't affect you. But once you start moving your arms, that's when time kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that benefit to stand still and go, okay, let's scan the room.
You stand still and there's like a bullet like right between
your
eyes.
Because it moves incredibly slow. Time never stops.
Okay, super slow-mo.
Super slow.
Okay.
And then by you moving, brings it into regular time.
Yep.
But there are moments where it's kind of like frustrating. Like when you're trying to do the same little puzzle room like multiple times, that's beating the shit out of you. Like I swore a lot on that stream.
Isn't that on you just for not learning?
Well, yeah, but there are like it's not entirely systematic.
Okay.
As in, like, okay, there's four people. I know he shoots first, then him. Sometimes it's that shoots first. And like, what the fuck? And then you get a shotgun to the face.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so you can do the same movements you've always done, but that will switch it up a little bit.
That's good.
It's good. Like, it's, you know, being a puzzle game, you need to be sort of somewhat consistent too. Mm. It adds a kind of a fun twist to it.
Yeah.
But it's also, there is that sort of the pinpoint accuracy involved, so you can fuck it really quickly.
Mm.
An example is there was this one that ruined me every time. You're in like a back, you're behind a building, there's a fire escape, there's one guy coming down with a gun, and there's a guy to your left with a gun. I think there's a person in front of you as well. So when you spawn in, you punch the guy in front of you, you grab the bottle, you whip the bottle, and if you, like, because it all happens in like a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
So if you whip that bottle and you overshoot that guy, you're a little fucked.
Okay.
You're like, okay, then you scramble.
Well, you may as well just restart.
Yeah, but like I tried to do it, I'll just keep going. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, fuck. Then you have to dodge, then you dodge his bullet, wait till he gets close enough, you know, like take his gun from him, shoot him, and then, you know, like...
Yeah.
But
and then you finish the level and you go, that was fucking cool. Oh,
man. So I bought the bundle pack, had the VR and the standard version, right? Standard version is very different, a lot slower paced.
Yeah.
Because you can be a bit more methodical because of the controller. So there's a video that I uploaded on my Facebook page where you spawn in an elevator and there's three dudes.
Mm.
You know, they've all got guns and they're all directly pointing at you. So the second you move, you're going to get shot. So you have to like punch that guy, shift to the left, dodge that bullet, punch that guy, and pick up, you know, like, so essentially what I did is I beat the fuck out of three dudes in an elevator, then the doors open, there's two guys with AKs, you just go, choo-choo, and like,
yeah, it's fun.
The best thing about the non-VR version, so you do everything in slow-mo, then that's like, completed, and then it'll show you exactly what you did, but in real time.
Oh, okay, that's
so
cool.
So you're like, you're kind of doing it really slow motion.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Punch to the liver. Do this.
Yeah, pretty much. So you can see me sort of...
So he's doing it all in slow-mo, and then when he's like, and then he can't do this. Go. And then
yeah, because like, then I was like, I'm like, oh, that looks pretty cool. Let's watch that back. And I'm just like, pew. And then I was like, walk out of the elevator. And I was like, fuck. That was awesome.
I think... Gorn would be a good stream, but I don't think it's on PSVR.
Which one?
Gorn.
What's Gorn?
Gore porn. That's not... I think that's the play on words they're going for. You're in an arena, like a gladiator. Yeah. And you got like Caesar up there and all that. They're all like really big cartoon heads. And you got like your selection of weapons, like spear and mace and sword, and they're all like fucking
wobbly. Does dad have this?
Yeah. It's comical. Josh's dad has
the best VR setup you've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's like, how old is he?
55
55, and he has a... In, like he, I've no, I don't know anyone that has that much VR enthusiasm like your father.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, watch Gorn after this. I think it'll be a lot of fun to do.
And I've also been playing Hellblade since you have sacrificed.
A little bit of YouTube controversy on that one earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Jim Sterling done fucked up.
He done fucked up.
Oh, so, not really. depends on how you look at these things.
The game's really interesting. So it's essentially one of the biggest selling points of this game is the fact how the character essentially has psychosis and how it deals with it and you know, that sort of stuff. It has an incredible use of 3D audio.
Mm.
Or 3D space audio. So it recommends you play with headphones for a very good reason. So as you're walking and you're doing things, you have voices in your head. And they'll talk to you from different parts.
Mm.
And the benefit of that, because there is no HUD, there is no map markers, there's nothing. So you have to listen to these voices and they'll tell you to do things.
Mm.
And they'll say, so if you're in a fight, because there's very limited combat, but there is the occasional combat, which is actually really smooth as well. And if someone's coming up behind you, the voice will be like, behind you.
Okay. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, and maybe a guy comes in and they're like, don't let him surround you. You know, it's like...
Yeah, you get your hints through voices.
Yeah, but then a lot of times it's like, fucking run away. You know?
Fucking run, bitch, run!
Yeah, and it's like, so some of the voices are really good. Some of them are like, what are you doing? Turn around. Yeah. You know, like, it's...
You've been in this room for 30 fucking minutes.
And then there's a lot of environmental puzzles as well. Kind of like, yeah. So it's kind of like The Witness in that way. There's a little, enough I've seen that comparison before. Is yeah. It's like, hey, there's this rune, you need to open this door. This rune is in the world. So you're in this little box, yeah, not a box, just a little area. You look around till you find in the environment that rune. And then you go, bing, scan it, and you're in.
Okay.
Yeah, the sound design is probably by far one of the best things. So what I found really interesting... So I did look a little bit into it in terms of how they recorded the audio for this game.
Mm.
What they did is they essentially got a studio room. Rather than having everybody sit behind microphones and listen and go, bah, 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 and then map it in 3D space, they literally plonked the microphone in the middle of a studio room and people walk around. And they read the script while they're walking around.
That's cool.
So it's always moving, and it's because this is the central point, you're hearing like in full... Fucking really, it's such a simple yet smart idea. It's fantastic. That
sounds awesome.
And it's all based in Norse mythology.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get to their equivalent of hell. To I think try
the
to
underworld.
Bring, yeah.
Whatever they call it.
Hellheim. Trying to get to Helheim.
I learned that from World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Trying to get to Helheim, because you're led to believe at this point, I've only played for about an hour and a half, that you're trying to get the character's love interest. You know, they've died and you're trying to get them back.
It sounds like Hercules when Hades takes Meg down to hell and he goes to get her back.
Yeah.
The cartoon. Wow. Hercules.
Very different. I haven't seen the movie in a very long time. I don't know how it goes.
Are you going to finish this game?
I think I will.
Good.
Because
we were saying last week, I don't think you've seen credits roll this year on a video game.
I don't know. But yeah, so what's really cool about it is because of the psychosis and the hallucinations that this character has, it kind of makes you wonder about what you're seeing and what you're doing and yeah, what is the part of the game. You know, like, it's all part of the game, but you're like, is that a misleading sort of puzzle? You know, it's very interesting. Like, the game left me with this strong sense of uneasiness.
Mm.
I really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoying it.
Cool. I was trying to think of a clever segue into the news, but I didn't
get there. Because, look, we haven't stopped talking about Overwatch enough. So we're heading into the news, which is inform the players. We inform you of the PlayStation news that is relevant this week. And
Overwatch.
What's more relevant to Josh than Overwatch?
Me? Overwatch has been firing on all cylinders the last couple of months.
Yeah, the Popsy community group has gone a little bit crazy for Overwatch.
Oh, but even, you know, just on a global stage with Blizzard and all that. Blizzard continuing. Blizzard have announced that Overwatch is finally getting free-for-all and team deathmatch modes alongside a new deathmatch-focused map. The modes will work exactly how you'd expect. Players attempt to kill as many enemies as possible, and each kill counts as a point. The first player in free-for-all to get 20 kills, or the first team in deathmatch to get 30 wins the match. It's worth noting that in team deathmatch, Mercy's resurrections of her teammates take points away from the enemy team. That's very interesting. Alongside the modes, Blizzard is also releasing a new map that's built for deathmatch. It's called Chateau Guillard, which is Widowmaker's family's mansion. In addition, Blizzard has created variants of existing maps to better support Deathmatch games. Deathmatch is rolling out now on the public test realm on PC, so you can already give it a go in its testing state.
I do like the objective focus The folks at Overwatch has, but I am looking forward to a team deathmatch.
Well, in the announcement video, I think it's Jeff Kaplan, I think, is the Overwatch community manager, and he does update videos for YouTube. He's kind of awkward on camera. It's kind of adorable. He clearly cares a lot, but he's not so comfortable. It's funny.
Yeah.
He said that the initial reason for not including free-for-all and TDM is because they wanted Overwatch to be an objective-focused game. And they're not really, they don't fit that vision. But now that Overwatch is so cemented for what it is, they feel like they can start freely experimenting a little bit more.
Yeah, and having some fun with it and sort of like, look, this is still the focal point.
Yeah.
It's like Call of Duty. Call of Duty is team deathmatch.
Yeah.
But if you want to, you can play Capture the Flag. What game is that?
It's Capture just like, the Flag. Is this 1940s in Germany or what?
It's Call of Duty World War II.
Like, oh, yeah, okay. Really, nice save.
Weren't really super into
games. That's what they were playing back then.
Wow.
I fucking lost my words
here. And then sort of the payload one, which I can't think what it's called.
I'd imagine if... When you play quick play and competitive, it'll be Overwatch as you know it.
Yeah.
But when you go to the arcade, that's where all the other game modes are. That's where your 1v1 is, your 3v3 elimination, your Lucio ball and all that kind of stuff. So imagine TDM and free-for-all being the arcade and not part of the quick play rotation.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so. I think once again, that's their focus. And this is a supplementary. Yeah. I'm curious to see how each of these characters' ultimates and their sort of abilities play into deathmatch.
Well, there'll be some characters that you can't even use in free-for-all.
Yeah.
Some of them, like, what do you... You can't play Mercy in free-for-all when you've got seven other people trying to kill you. Sure, Mercy can whip out a piss.
You can't focus on healing others while everyone's trying to kill you.
Yeah, but there's no teammates.
Yeah.
Because it's free-for-all. I mean, you know, Mercy can whip out her pistol, but that's her, like, fuck, that's her, like, I'm the last resort. All of her abilities are about healing your teammate, increasing their damage, flying to your teammate, resurrecting your teammate. So what do you do with Mercy in a free-for-all environment? You can't. I think there'll be a fair few characters that don't see much free-for-all play.
That's fine. I only see like two characters anyway.
What?
I only play like two characters anyway. As like, I'll only ever, like, no matter what it is, I tend to have my staples.
We need a tank. I'm going to be DPS. Yeah.
So there's not enough healers. That's a shame.
That's the thing, though.
Is you can be a healer.
Yeah. Fucking hate is when you're in a game and someone's emoting, we need a healer. So fucking be a healer then, prick.
Yeah,
it really pisses me off. But the counter argument is that you can either help your team by playing a character you're really fucking good at, or be a healer just for the sake of being a healer, which you're not good with and you're not comfortable with.
So you're not entirely contributing to the team.
Yeah, yeah. Just having a healer on your team doesn't mean you have a healer on your team.
Mm.
You got someone playing a healer, doesn't mean they can play a healer. So not like me. I play a healer really fucking good.
Damn good healer.
Damn good healer. Hmm. I'm trying to think. I've got to stop pausing to think of segues for the next news. So I'll just read it anyway. Same way Skyrim did last year, Bethesda has announced that the seminal post-apocalyptic wasteland simulator Fallout 4, I don't know why that wasn't in the actual that wasn't in the sentence, will be getting a Game of the Year edition in late September. Launching on September 26th, the Game of the Year re-release will feature updates released to... all the updates released to date, graphical tweaks, support for official and unofficial mods, and 6 pieces of official DLC. Bethesda also announced that they would be re-releasing the Pip-Boy Collector's Edition, but only in North America.
Well, hang on. So read that back to me. Read that middle part to me again.
Launching on September 26th, the Game of the Year re-release will feature all updates released to date, graphical tweaks, support for official and unofficial mods, and 6 pieces of DLC.
Okay, cool. I'm curious on the wording of that, whether they're like, no, this Fallout 4 has tweaks, the other one doesn't. Like, fucking better not have.
Oh, no.
S.
But with the... I don't know what they're... Because remember at
E3 wherever you've pulled that from, they're referencing to Skyrim. The Skyrim is a very different example of a game.
Oh, it's a remaster. It's a
straight up remaster. This is just a collection.
It was GameSpot, right? The article, I think. Yeah, well, graphical tweaks, so I don't know what they're going to do with that. Whatever they mean by that.
Whatever standard in the releases, I hope.
But at E3, remember Bethesda talked about that mod thing they've got going on? Like you pay for mods?
Yeah.
The Creators Club or something? But then I don't know if that will be part of this. Or if they're, I don't know what they're doing with that.
Yeah, I'd hope that's standard, because they'd be really shitty otherwise.
Yeah.
I love Fallout 4, and it's a game I want to go. I try to go back to all the time. Never do.
I never will, but Craig might be happy. But Craig probably already owns everything.
Craig has everything because he's done everything you can do in that.
Craig,
game.
The Popsy intern. I want to see where his settlement ended up building, because I know he was doing some insane shit.
Yeah. He took full advantage of all like the patio furniture and shit you get in the DLC packs. Like, I'm the sickest patio I've ever seen.
Speaking of patios, announced via the PlayStation blog, the first expansion for Horizon Zero Dawn will launch on November 7th.
I'm not going to question that.
They've got patios in their huts. They do. There's no confirmation if that date is a simultaneous release at this stage, although it's pretty clear the kind of climate Aloy will be exploring. Set in icy territories to the north, this new chapter of Aloy's journey adds a new area to explore, new mysteries to uncover, and new highly lethal machines to take on, the post adds.
Dad, it's my birthday. Bam, bam.
Oh, is it? Nice. Keen as fuck, because Horizon came out, finished it, got the platinum, and my whole plan was to just put it away until the expansion comes out, and then play that. That's
yeah,
exactly
if we
what
get
I'm
a code, if we get a code for that, I'm gonna let you play.
Yeah, seeing as you haven't finished the base game yet.
Hey, we're doing the same thing with Uncharted next week.
Story of your life this year.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing with Uncharted, man. It's like you're going, I'm not gonna play Lost Legacy. I'm like, I'll play Lost Legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it works.
I'm definitely keen for more Horizon. Such a great game.
Oh, also, I saw today they're releasing Horizon pop vinyls.
Yeah, so Jess linked them.
Yeah, I normally fucking hate pop vinyls, but see,
the Watcher looks cool.
This is the thing: the pop vinyls, can't fucking stand them. I actually hate them pretty much. The every convention we go to, we always try to film a little segment of us going to every stall that has pop vinyls, and I go,
which is every stall, and it's
a great little supercut when we're done.
but to the untrained eye, you may as well be at the same store. That's what it looks like.
But there's always a handful that lure me in. They're not pop vinyls.
Aren't they?
No.
I swear you had a Kratos one.
Kratos, he lives over there. That came from... Oh. I didn't buy that. Dave gave that to us.
Oh, that's right.
I've only bought a... The majority of the ones I have, were gifted to me.
Okay.
I bought Jay and Silent Bob, of course.
Of course.
I bought South Park's Butters, because it looks like James. It made me laugh really hard. but there's a couple that I've seen. I've seen like Terrence and Phillip from South Park. I'm like, oh, that'd be really... Because they look like in the show. That's what they look like.
I've got... It's fucking genius. I've bought Jamie Lannister. I've bought a little sister from Bioshock. Looks rad. And the Dragonborn in full Daedric armor. Looks rad too. They're the only three I've ever bought though.
Yeah, so like, and like, I'm normally like, ugh. But then there's a couple... There's always one or two that I'm like...
It's like, if I'm going to buy that one, I need that one to pair with it.
Well, not even that. It's just like, oh, cause I'm like, I'm never going to buy any more pop vinyls. Ooh, Horizon pop vinyls. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's kind of like where it's at.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You will buy more.
Damn it, pop vinyls.
I'm going to skip this one because it's just...
Yep, cool. Whatever.
Next bit of news. Ubisoft has announced that it's opening a new studio in Stockholm, Sweden, and has appointed former EA DICE manager Patrick Bach.
Dang.
Bach to lead its efforts. According to a post on Ubisoft's official blog, the studio, aptly named Ubisoft Stockholm, will work on AAA projects with Massive Entertainment, the Sweden-based studio behind The Division. Okay. Bach confirmed the team will work with Massive on its new game based on James Cameron's Avatar, a title that won't be released before 2020. In addition to working
just
on...
Just like the sequel.
In addition to working on Battlefield Bad Company games and Battlefield 3 and 4, Buck oversaw development of Star Wars Battlefront, Battlefront 1, and Mirror's Edge Catalyst at DICE. Oh, Ubisoft Stockholm has begun recruiting and aims to have a team of 100 within 2 years. In related Ubisoft news, Ubisoft have announced that Rainbow Six Siege has 20 million registered users... 2.3 million playing each day.
I got really bummed for a second there because I was kind of lost in my own world. Then you're like, Battlefront Bad Company. I'm like, Battlefield Bad Company. I'm like, oh, I love Bad Company. Are they going to make it? Wait, that's not Ubisoft. That's EA. Oh, I got sad.
Dick. This
I
is
going to
be
Bad
a
Company.
Big studio.
It's a huge
they're gonna
studio.
They want 100 people within 2 years. What's the relevance of Avatar? Because there already was an Avatar game, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was poo.
A really, you know, the shitty movie to video game adaptions. So, cool, new studio, cool, Ubisoft,
cool, new studio,
cool.
Shitty IP,
Patrick Bach, cool.
Likely a shitty game.
Yeah.
Dude, Avatar's a shitty film.
The film's good.
Film's average
at
best.
Good, not shitty.
No.
No.
I did not enjoy that film. The only reason I enjoyed it the first time I saw it 3D. Was because the 3D.
Yeah.
You watch it again, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Nah, it's all right. It's Pocahontas, but with a higher budget.
I'll watch Pocahontas.
but... Patrick Bach has a good resume to him.
Yeah.
So
I think he'll do some cool things.
How can we translate Battlefield to Avatar? Is it like the Na'vi versus the giant machines of the humans? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'd be in for that. Just fucking slaughtering these blue people just left, right, and center.
It's my kind of game.
Yeah. While pumping Eiffel 65 from the stereo.
You know how happy I would feel to destroy all the Na'vi? Because fuck them.
Because fuck them, that's why.
Fuck them, I'm gonna take their trio or whatever the hell the game movie was about.
It's about... The film is a metaphor for humans.
You know what
their need for new things.
Blue people with tails that they fuck each other with, but they also use to ride horses with. But technically, they fuck their horses and their birds.
That's not a metaphor, that's literal. No, but those kind of movies do just make me hate the human race as a whole.
Oh, we are shit.
We are just pieces of fucking garbage.
Yeah, pretty trash.
Speaking of trash, finally did a good one. Details about PS4's forthcoming firmware update 5.0 have reportedly surfaced, revealing that 1080p and 60fps Twitch streaming support is on the way for PS4 Pro users. According to Eurogamer, who reports to have acquired a copy of Update 5.0's release notes, the update also adds the ability to follow any user account without needing a friend request or maxing out your friends list. Woo! According to the update notes, Sony is doing this to encourage more sharing of content and more interactions among players and boost the viral potential of the UGC for developers. Players will also have the ability to block users as well. Can't we do that now? As well as the option to choose whether or not they want anyone or just existing friends to be able to follow their account. Other additions in the forthcoming update include expanded account management options with new family accounts that can feature multiple adult accounts, as well as updates to system notifications, making them visible from the quick menu. According to Eurogamer, Sony plans to launch the firmware update alongside a revamped PlayStation app in the not too distant future. I don't give a dick about any of it.
See, none of those things feel like that they should be 5.0 worthy.
Really. No, they're like mini patch.
They're
like,
all
the
mini patch.
The in-between stuff. unless I'm underestimating the need and want for the 1080p 60fps Twitch streaming.
Yeah, I think that is a growing market.
Yeah.
That one's fine.
How many people would be streaming directly to Twitch from the PlayStation without
a lot of really bad YouTube channels.
Without going through an Elgato into a computer and doing all that?
Because if you are going to capture it, you want to have an overlay, you want to have a chat up,
exactly.
And like you don't, and the standard layout of the PS4 is trash. You don't want to use it.
Yeah,
there are ways. I did, like, you know, because all the time I'm too lazy to come here in the room and set up. I'm like, can I stream from the PlayStation in the lounge room? Couch is really comfy. It's not that easy.
It's garbage.
Eventually, we'll just hook up a couch in here. When we have the Pop C Studios in the streaming room, there's a couch. None of those things have been... like, the notifications on the quick menu, that's cool.
What's that?
The quick menu is when you hold the PlayStation button and it goes bing.
I don't think I've ever used that in my life.
I use it all the time.
Yeah, I used it when I was using Spotify.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, that's... like, cool, but...
yeah,
cool?
None of that is impressive. Unless there's a big infrastructure rebuild behind it, and they're working on things to come out in the near future.
Looks like, for the foreseeable future, I am, and forever will be, MicroCuts 88
on
the
PSN. Butts in.
Fucking shit. Oh, well. The top-selling games for the week ending 6th of August 2017 have been announced. Starting at number 10, The Last of Us Remastered, Horizon Zero Dawn, Rainbow Six Siege, COD Bops 3, Prey, Uncharted 4, Ghost Recon Wildlands, GTA 5, Rugby League Live 4, Crash Insane Trilogy. Quick bit of trivia. AFL Evolution had a longer stint at number 1 than Rugby League Live 4.
Yeah, who's the real sport now? What? No one watches AFL, everyone watches rugby. Right, fuck you, rugby.
It's good to see Last of Us back in there.
Yeah,
I don't know why. It must have been... was
it Sam?
No. It sold like 3 copies, therefore it gets 10th spot.
See, look, it's something we talked about.
Jumping off what you said last week.
I was like, I really don't think we sell that many games here in Australia on a weekly basis.
It's the list each week is just boring now. Except
how can we?
Having AFL Evolution was like a breath of fresh air, and it was exciting to see every week. Where is it? I'm still at number 1. Fuck yeah. I'm still at number 3. That's cool. And, you know, kind of dropped out.
That must only be physical sales as well. I don't know, because it doesn't seem like there are some digital games I think would do we should be on that list would be doing better. But if you can think of a better way for us to make the list better, make this more entertaining.
Well, other than just reading it out.
Because, like, if it's the same games every week, fuck cares.
What? I don't know what you're getting at.
No, because, like, I want the viewers, the community, to help me think, or help us
what
think
about,
in a cool way.
We have the top 10 selling games for the week, and the top 10 played community games for the week.
Yeah, it's just Overwatch every week. That's going to be boring too.
Gwent?
Cool, that's going to get boring too.
Oh, it won't. The game's fucking rad.
Yeah, but talking about it every week. Man, like, you know how we talked about Persona for like 8 weeks flat?
It's because it was relevant.
To you?
Yeah. Sorry for liking things. Interesting to note too that COD Infinite Warfare isn't in the top 10.
Oh, shit.
For the first time in, I'm not sure
how. In a while.
Because last
because,
of
no, because now with no need to buy it to play Call of Duty Remastered,
yeah,
everyone guess. Stops caring.
And Naughty Dog having two games in the top 10 as well.
No surprise. I mean, clap is no surprise. What do you mean? No surprise. I don't need to applaud them. They know. They're like, yeah, we know.
They like brush the dust off their shoulders. The Lost Legacy will be at number one.
Yeah, because it'll be. That depends. Okay, if it does take digital sales into account, then it will be. Mm. I'll wait and see.
Just as my computer reboots, it's coming.
Oh, there it goes.
Final bit of news is leading into our main feature for the week.
But before we jump into that, there was a question.
Okay. When are we getting questions in between segments now?
Yeah, because I thought it was relevant. I kind of think, while we're waiting for that to load up, I think it
it's may loaded have, now. Don't mind the silence.
Okay. It was from Lee, and it was pretty much how disappointed by firmware 5.0 are you? And we discussed it a bit.
9 out of 10, disappointed.
9 out of 10, strong disappointment.
Yeah, can't change my name. Not rating it. Piece of shit.
Next question.
What?
Next thing. Keep the chain moving.
News. Last bit of news leading into our feature. Middle-Earth Shadow of War's expanded Nemesis system will feature microtransactions, and developer Monolith has shed some light on how they'll work. According to the studio's official announcement, quote, players can purchase loot chests, war chests, XP boosts, and bundles through the market to strengthen their army. Within loot chests, players will find weapons and armor, as well as XP boosts, which make Talion level up quicker. It's pretty basic. War chests contain new orc followers that will help you strengthen your army, as well as training orders which let you level up and customize your orcs. Bundles include a combination of loot chests, war chests, and XP boosts together at a package deal. These items can be acquired by spending Mirian in in-game currency that you can find in stashes while playing the game. You can also acquire Mirian by taking down treasure, orcs, and destroying gear. Players also have the option of purchasing gold, Shadow of War's other in-game currency, which can be acquired by spending real money. Participating in community challenges and completing specific milestones will earn you gold as well.
You know what my favourite part in Lord of the Rings was? Loot boxes. When I was watching that movie, and they were like, we're gonna go all the way to Mordor to put the ring in the volcano. But let's stop while I open this loot box.
Remember that?
Oh, fuck yeah, sweet Hawaiian shirt.
That time that Aragorn found a chest and he opened it and the Reforged blade was in there?
That was
sweet.
Awesome. He had to do no work for that. Yeah. It was just right there.
And it's the only way for Legolas to restock his arrows seemingly out of nowhere. He's got a quiver which fits 21 arrows. He's lobbing off 3 at a time. Mm. And he's shooting orcs for 3.5 hours. I did close the drop. That's cool. Don't worry about it. It'll come back. I'll click it. There it is.
So you brought this.
I dropped the drop.
You dropped the drop and you have brought this topic.
Yeah. Well, it's relevant.
Yeah. But you were pretty fired up before we even walked into the studio about it.
That's fucking stupid.
Unleash.
Well, that's it. It's dumb.
I thought there was going to be more unleashing.
No, because you let me unleash before we actually started recording. No, but this is just a prime example of double dipping in a AAA title. Back in the day, you know, a single player game was a single player game and you didn't need to buy loot chests or XP boosts. XP boosts, I think, is what rubs me up the worst. Mm. If you want to level up, go and play the fucking game and level up at a normal rate. You fucks. No, but you know, and the thing is, none of what they've got in their loot chests and Bob War crates, whatever the fuck they're calling them, are cosmetic. Now, a lot of the argument for microtransactions is it's just cosmetic. You don't have to. Like Overwatch, prime example. You get loot boxes through the game and you can buy more with cash if you want to. It doesn't affect how your character plays or how well you play them, or doesn't give you an edge unless you look at Genji's green Power Ranger costume, which is very distracting. When
yeah,
you see,
that's Max's personal favorite.
Yeah, when you see a Green Ranger running in the field, what the fuck? And then I'm dead because he paid for it. Yep. But you know what I mean? It's cosmetic microtransactions are still dickish, but they're fine overall.
Mm.
They're morally bankrupt, but they don't do anything bad for people that don't want to buy them. Whereas these, they're, you know, you get orcs, you get gear. That's worse. Because from what I understand, the online nemesis system is you have, like, your encampment with your orcs and you set your orc leader there and all that kind of stuff. And then other players can, like, try to do it. And you can just, you know, rich kids can just keep buying orcs until they get the really fucking good orc. And then they're at the top of the rankings because they just paid lots of money. You know what I mean? I can't articulate it.
All right. Want me to try to articulate it?
Yeah, pass to you.
One, it's fucking dumb.
Thank you.
So dumb.
Yeah.
My issues that I have is, like, this entirely feels like a WB decision.
Yeah.
This isn't a decision from Monolith. Monolith at no point have gone, you know how it's the best way to tell this sweet Lord of the Rings lore story? Yeah. Fucking loot boxes.
Yeah.
It drips. It oozes of bullshit publisher garbage.
Well, we've seen it with Injustice 2 as well. With the costume and all that. You can buy boxes of costumes as well.
But, like, it... See, this is, like, loot boxes irritate me. One, even if they're entirely cosmetic, that irritates me, right? Like, an example with Overwatch.
Mm.
I'm like, cool. I like the feel of getting a loot box. I'm like, ooh, I have a loot box. Open it, and technically it's nothing. And I'm like, well, that's kind of...
But the difference is... Your loot box, you didn't pay for it.
No. The point I'm making is, like, even if I had,
or do you hate the concept of loot boxes?
I hate the loot boxes themselves are fucking stupid.
Okay, because what loot boxes essentially are?
Speaking of Hearthstone, it's entirely random, and that is fucking stupid.
No, it's not. Card games, since the beginning of time, you buy a booster pack, and it's random cards, exactly the same digitally. I was going to bring this up anyway. Card games are different because card games have always been Magic the Gathering, and beyond that, you buy a booster pack. Pokemon, you buy a booster pack.
I know Pokemon cards. Like, the best thing about it, when you're like,
You buy a booster pack and it's random cards, and every now and then you go, fuck, like, whoa, foil Charizard. Wah!
Oh, beat the shit up your nose. I'm probably going to play one.
And digitally, I don't see there's any different. It's a booster pack of cards.
Yeah, cards. So in terms of the card games, I guess that's part of what this genre is, and that's okay.
The benefit of the card games is if you get a bunch of cards you don't want or don't need, you can mill them, destroy them to get a resource to craft a card you actually want.
Yeah. But at the same time, in terms of Shadow of War, now I have no intentions of playing it online anyway.
Not me either.
That's fine.
I don't intend to playing it at all.
However... We were thinking it came out that, you know, in order to function this marketplace, this game must be always online, even though I have zero use of using said fucking marketplace.
Yeah.
So, in terms of how I... Because to me, it's a single player game, and I want to be able to make the choice to not... And I have that choice. As a consumer, I have the choice not to use these loot boxes. Unless there are trophies or... game missions entirely based around the fact of having to verse someone in an online match, then I have an even larger issue with it.
Yeah, the thing is, even though, yeah, it's a single player game and you don't have to buy this stuff, when it's there and it's available, it's always in the back of your mind.
Not even for me, leave a little bit. Because that, to me, is wasted money.
No, but that's not what I'm saying. Is you still won't buy it. You still don't have to buy it. But if you're playing online and you're getting fucking demolished... The thought will always just randomly pop up. I could just buy a box.
Yeah, but see, the thing
you
is,
don't
like,
have
that
to.
Says more about metaphorical you as the player. And, like, all it is, it's the same thing with mobile games, right?
Mm.
Mobile games, the people that make the money on these games, it's 1% of people actually buy that and they spend a lot of money. 1%.
Yeah. Well, kids, and they
bank on that 1%. And granted, most of us just go, I ain't using it, and that's fine.
Mm.
It's so dirty.
But like I said, it's always in the back. If those microtransactions are there, and you're like, I'm never going to buy them, I don't give a fuck anyway. But there'll always be a point in the game where you think, I could. You still don't, but it's having that thought. Recurring thoughts.
Playing GTA Online, I'm like, oh, how much is one of those little credit cards? Give me a bunch of cash. That'd be kind of cool.
Mm. Yeah, but it's an online game. Well, this is a single player game we're talking about. So, like, if you're
on a single player game, these literally shouldn't exist.
If you're playing Shadow of War single player and you're getting to, I don't know how it works, but towards the end of the game, levels are few and far between. It's really kind of grindish. The thought will pop up at some point. I could buy an XP boost, and it shouldn't pop up at all.
What's the real concern is So they're essentially saying, hey, here's XP boosts that you can use so the game isn't quite as long as you think, you know. So the whole idea is, so wait, so are you just going to pad the fuck out of the game? Like, are you going to extend shit longer than it needs to be just so that I have to buy XP things?
Yeah.
So they're like, are they making what could be a 10-hour game into a 15, 20-hour game? Purely because if you really want to, you just fucking pay an extra $80.
Or inherently, the XP between levels to later on has been jacked up, so it feels longer, and you're like, oh, I could just buy the XP booster, mate. Yeah. Let's go quicker.
That's dirty. So there's a lot of hyperbole in this discussion, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But that's so fucking dirt. Dirt!
I wish microtransactions would go away. See, Overwatch loot boxes, I'm cool, because they trickle in every now and then. They trickle in slowly. I never buy them. I got 12 sitting there for my son to open tomorrow. But they trickle in themselves. Mm. Like, loot boxes, I'm okay with loot boxes. I'm not okay with loot boxes that might contain something to give you an edge over other players.
Mm.
That's not cool. Especially if it's random. That's the thing is, you know, you buy these loot boxes like, I'm going to get the best things, I can be the best online. Because it's random, you don't get what you want.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll buy another one.
I'm also a horrible gambler, so I don't gamble like at all. Yeah. Because I know I suck at it. So any sort of gambling function, I'm like, nah.
Mm. Oh, you haven't been in the slot machine casino in Persona 5 yet, have you?
No.
Mm. That'll be fun for you.
No, I won't.
You'll never get there. No, you'll hit a wall there.
Oh, because that's the thing. Because like, gambling, because it is, it's gambling. It's publicly condoned gambling. Not condoned, it's like, it's slightly more acceptable gambling.
It's because you don't have to spend the money.
Mm. You don't have to go gamble either.
No. Well, yeah. I blame Gambler. But if you want to play the game, you do.
Gambler!
You blame who?
Gambler.
I thought you said Gandalf.
No, Gambler.
Ganondorf. No.
Gambler is the same gambling monster that took over Marge in The Simpsons.
Oh, okay. I want to know what the people think about it.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Like, what's your thoughts on the microtransaction thing and how they're super trash?
Tell us we're full of shit if you want.
Yeah, fucking give us a, yeah, give us a what for if you want.
But I do stand by booster packs in card games needing to be random because that's what they are.
Speaking of giving us what for, we reached out to our community and asked for questions. So if you can head over to thepopculturist.com/questions where you can get your questions right on the show, you can help contribute to the show, make it bigger and better.
Thanks.
Just like these people have.
And these people do every week.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump over to the Google Doc itself.
You should have already had it open.
I did have it open, but my apparently wanted to reload for me for some reason. Like, I suppose. Nope, not that one. That one's for popcorn. This one comes from Martin. In conversation with Hellblade. Do you like the idea of permadeath in games?
I like it being an option.
So, the way it works in Hellblade is, in theory, there is this goo muck on your arm. Mm. Right? So every time you die, that muck moves further up your arm.
Oh, it's like grayscale.
Like grayscale. So, if you die enough times for it to hit your head, you're dead. And your save gets deleted.
Okay. That's so, cool. Bonk. Now, are there varying rates at which it can grow up your arm?
Nope. Or it's just only when you die.
Yeah, but I mean, if I die to this, it's gonna extend even further than it would have if I died like this.
No, I think because the only way you can die in the game is through combat.
Okay, because
there's no falling off ledges or anything like that.
But there'll be a fixed number. I can die six times before I lose this character altogether. I reckon that's wicked. That's fucking really wicked. Cool. See, Diablo 3 have it. A lot of games have hardcore mode now as well, where, you know, permadeath is activated. Diablo had it since Diablo 1, I think. I know it's definitely in 2, it might have been number 1. But you've always got the option to play not permadeath mode, but there was.
See, this is built into the game. You have no choice.
The last trophy I needed for Diablo 3 was reach maximum level on a hardcore character. That was some of the funnest game you ever had because every time I'd nearly die, my sphincter like suck itself together, you know, fuck, you know, really intense gaming. And, you know, when I finally got through the whole permadeath version of the game and that trophy popped followed by the platinum, it was like, fuck, yeah. I think it's cool, especially if it's built into a game, one, that can't just fucking gib you for no fucking reason.
Mm.
That's the worst when it's permadeath.
And like, the combat is at the moment, it isn't that intricate. Now, there is a difficulty spike later on from what I hear. Mm. But it's still, because the The combat is pretty much heavy attack, light attack, melee, dodge. Just dodge. Like, so unless you just stand there and go, like, you're likely going to be able to survive a fight. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool content, and it works into the game as well. Yeah. In terms of what the lore of the game is, what the story they're telling, I think it works really well. I know, like, speaking of Fallout, Fallout 4 has survival mode in it. Yeah. My buddy Paul at work was playing it. Same thing. It's intense.
Yeah.
You actively avoid as much confrontation as, like, you.
Yeah.
And if you do,
it gives you a new way to play the game.
Yeah.
Whereas Fallout 4, when I played it, I'd just fucking balls to the wall and go in there and I'd die fucking 8 times trying to take this one place. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But yeah, it changes how you approach things. But it needs to be built into the game in a way that works, like you're saying, it is incentive of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Where if it's a game with permadeath where you're just walking and then a boulder drops out of the sky and fucking kills you for no reason, then that's not cool.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I think it's awesome. I think it's a real... It's not a new mechanic by any stretch, but...
Is there a trophy to beat the game after dying 5 times with only like
I
one
I don't know. I haven't looked at the trophy list
yet. That'd be a cool trophy.
I haven't died yet. I'm going to see how far I can go without dying. That's my personal... I'm sure there's a trophy for that. It's got to be, right?
One with no deaths and maybe one with no one death left.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right, but, what else Fuck, it's a really good game. It's a really good game. I want you to put it like... to when we're done here, chuck the headphones on and just experience the cool little psychosis-y thing that they're trying to do. It's really cool. Loading up the thing. Mitch asks, what are your thoughts on the new No Man's Sky update, and does it make you want to play?
I was thinking about putting that in the news this week, but I chose not to because that's how much I care about it. That answers the question in itself.
The only thing that I liked about it, but I was also sketchy of, there was a picture they released. It was, and it looked like a Stargate in the background. I'm like, hey, there's a Stargate. Oh, someone's getting in trouble.
Someone's getting sued.
Yeah, someone's getting sued hard.
No, it's way too late.
The answer is no.
Essentially, they've added apparently 30 hours more of story, some form of multiplayer. No,
they're adding 30 hours of the first story because there wasn't one when you first played it.
Oh, well, there was. You get to the center of the universe.
Yeah, and then you know what happens when you get there?
Nothing.
Fucking starts all over again.
Yeah.
And literally, like, when you wake up on the planet and you've broken our ship, get to the center of the universe, starts it again.
Okay. They've added some form of multiplayer, but not actual multiplayer.
Same as it was before.
You can see other players and you can group with up to 6 people for a planet, but you see them as like some. Like spark shade thing, you don't actually see their character avatar. I commend them for like pushing on with it.
Yeah.
You know, they know how badly it launched, they know the feedback, they know how much everyone was upset, and they're pushing on with it, and I commend them for that. But I think it's time to just scratch.
I think this is a discussion that another show I was listening to had. They're like, well, at what point does Hello Games give up on No Man's Sky?
I think their name is tainted as Hello Games now, especially Sean Murray.
Yeah, you'll never get Sean Murray in front of a camera again.
And he shouldn't be. He's awkward and he's terrible.
They shouldn't have ever put him in front of a
camera. It's going to be very hard for Hello Games to release a new game and it sell well on, like, you know, release week.
Lee Stevenson asks, I've no idea about this, so it's all up to you. Opinion on Fortnite. And do you agree with the general consensus that the game has been poisoned by the free-to-play model, gimping those who actually paid for it? Fill me in.
Poisoned is a harsh word. Mm. So the story is this game's been in development since 2011, and then it disappeared, came back in 2015. So the game is billed as free-to-play, and it is, but... it's in early access right now on PS4 and Xbox One, I think. PC, I'm not sure. So it's in early access. If you want to play the early access for a free-to-play game, you need to spend $40 and buy a Founders Pack. Or $59.95 for us on the PlayStation Store. So if you want to get into open beta, closed beta, paid beta, however you want to
go about it. That is by definition a paid beta, yeah.
If you want to get into paid beta for a free-to-play game, you need to buy... you know, for us it's $60 and that's pretty steep. But the issue people are having from what I've seen online is even though they've paid to get in the game, because it is at its core a free-to-play game, that's how it's modeled as well. So there's microtransactions and this and that and all that. So you're playing a free-to-play game, modeled as a free-to-play game, but you've paid for it. Now when this launches properly in 2018, it will be free. So all the people that have paid for it now to do the beta for them... kind of dirty because they're getting treated like free free-to-play players, and they're not. They've paid a good chunk of money to play this game, and it looks fucking rad. See, I went on the PlayStation Store and I saw it being promoted. And I watched the trailer. It's like four-person like zombie tower defense, and it looks fucking awesome. I was, and it was free. I was like, fuck yeah, I'll give this a go. Get it, play it with my son. So I downloaded it, loaded the game up, and then when the game loaded up, the free game that I downloaded, labeled as free on the PlayStation Store, the first message is, you can't play the game unless you buy Founders Pack $59.95. I installed it. I was like, get fucking suck me off. I'm not doing that. So yeah, I guess, what are your thoughts on, it's free to play next year, but people have paid to do the beta for them. They call it early access, but it's paid beta. But the people that paid to play the paid beta are playing a free to play game, and it's modeled like a free to play game. Microtransactions and boxes.
I remember, because I consume a lot of games media shows, and one of them they talked about, like, is Destiny technically a free to you know, a paid beta if you have to have PS Plus to play it? I'm like, no. Because when the game releases, it's a paid game. You mean, like, you are it's open to everyone. Yes, you have PS Plus, everyone fucking has PS Plus, it's cool. Not everyone has $60 to spend on your dumb fucking free to play game.
See, the paid, it was a paid beta, but you still own the game.
I can own it and not pay a thing next year.
Yeah,
when it'll probably, I'm sure it's barely relevant now. Imagine in a year from now.
But what do you think of this? People paying to play a paid beta for a free to play game.
It's just as stupid as the Monolith microtransaction.
See, the people, like, the game looks fun, and people obviously paid for it because it looks fun and they want to play it. But it's the people that have paid for the game are being treated as free to play players. You got your loot boxes and your microtransactions and all that, as a free to play game does.
If anything, it feels kind of dirty. It feels that it's almost like they're using it to fund the rest of the development. Not in terms of the Founders Pack makes sense. That will directly help fund them. But all the microtransactions inside, it's like, what they should have done is you pay your $60 Australian and you jump into the paid beta. All the microtransactions are relatively free, timed, but free. You know, or cheaper, quote unquote. You know what I mean? Like, as in, like, yes, they're in here, but we're using a stress test servers and shit, so you don't have to. So what would be a $5 DLC in the paper, sorry, $5 microtransaction in 2018? It's 99 cents for you.
Yeah, I think they will, coming up to actual launch, that anyone that bought a Founders Pack, your account's going to have some bonuses added to it.
Because that's the thing. What is the difference between now and 2018? Like, unless, so you're part of the Founders Pack,
Thanks,
man.
Yeah, good job. Thanks for helping us.
And they leave. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, unless there's a strong incentive to, one, keep them around to 2018, and two, to have them clearly show off that they've invested money. Dumb.
I think they will. The company doesn't, I forget what company's made it. They don't seem like a dickish company. I think they will. I just think they've kind of stumbled on how they're going about things, but I have faith they'll make it right. I am looking forward to playing it in 2018.
Joel asks, why haven't Telltale made an X-Files game yet? Holy shit, that is an awesome idea.
Because nobody but Ryan wants it.
Eat a dick. That'd be awesome.
With Mulder and Scully or new characters?
Oh, Mulder and Scully. Goddamn kidding me?
You really think you'll get
Dave Duchovny and Karen Gillan?
Jane Anderson. To come and voice characters?
Can't see why not.
I don't think
they get good monies.
Yeah. Telltale won't give good monies.
Yeah,
they might. I don't know.
Or at least give them likenesses, like, you know.
What other? Well, what other franchise would you want?
There, like, with Telltale, like, it's very rarely is there a IP that attracts me. Tales of Borderlands, regardless of how much you say it's good, I'm probably not going to play it. It's free. It was free on PS Plus. Probably not going to play it. I have Batman. I have the season pass of Batman. I've played the first one.
Yeah, but I didn't like it
either. I love Batman.
Yeah, you
didn't
do.
Play it. Game of Thrones, free. I haven't played it.
Fuck, because it doesn't follow any characters we know. Follows the houses we know, but not. You know.
And, like, the benefit of this, of X-Files, it doesn't have to. It can be the overarching conspiracy story in the 5 episodes, but could literally be a monster of the week. Yeah. With an overarching alien conspiracy story or something like that. Like, that's awesome.
How Supernatural did season one.
Yeah. Because Supernatural, essentially, they took the formula from X-Files, because X-Files ended at that point. Yeah. So, like, they could do that. They could have two, you know, out of the 5, 2 of them are Monster of the Week, and the other 3 are, you know, overarching story, or 3 and 2. Whatever. That, Fuck, that'd be awesome.
I think before Telltale take on any new IPs, they need to fix their shit.
Oh, don't get me wrong. They need to shut all the other ones down and then just build
it up. They need to finish all the other ones for starters, but fix their fucking engine because it runs like shit. Yeah. It's got no reason that it should run like, as badly as it does.
Yeah, regardless of what cool IP they have, they need to fix that shit. Yeah. And then I'll be interested.
If I have Minecraft story mode crashing on my PS4...
Again?
Something is wrong with your hardware. Wait, no. Not my hardware.
Mm.
Your engine.
Yes, your engine.
Yeah.
Joel asked a second question, which I think is very interesting. With Disney Infinity and LEGO Dimensions now cancelled and no plans for another Skylanders, if you were approached to make a game that had a, quote, Toys to Life aspect, what would it be? Joel said, mine would be a card game similar vein to Hearthstone or Gwent, but with physical cards and a reader peripheral you put them on to play. This way, you can still play the game physically with friends in person, and in-game transactions would become real-life transactions with physical rewards.
That's fucking rad. Like Yu-Gi-Oh!
Man, Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, VR.
Yeah, well... Yes, like even... yeah. Like Pokemon would be cool.
Oh my god.
Like, you know, you got the cards for your Pokemon and, you know, you want to switch in battle, so you swap the card around. It'd be a cool way to play physical cards against someone who's... Mm. I like that idea. That's cool. It's really fucking cool, and I don't see why it can't happen.
And Lee made a comment saying it doesn't fit the age bracket of the Toys to Life, which is the 6 to 12s. That's fine.
Change the fucking age bracket then. That's
fine. Like, dude.
Age bracket is just a number.
As I've, you know, we've got another buddy of ours, Martin, who, you know, was asked the first question this week. He is, he's madly into Magic, The Gathering, right? So he's been sort of telling me a lot about it, and he talks about the extent that he goes to pay them and what they're worth, and he has his full plans. I'm like, fuck. Imagine if you could play that on, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, I have spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars of years worth of, you know, that. And like, what if you start, you know, buy the cards, there's a little, like a little chip in it, like, or a little sticker on the back of the card, and you just go bink, and it registers. Like, because, yeah, that idea of being able to then play it in person and then take it and play it online. Because I have a couple of board games here in my house. I have like the DC deck building game, and like Cards Against Humanity is an example. Like, there's all these games that I think would really benefit from online versions. Like
Cards has it.
Yeah, but not, shit. Not on consoles. But like, you know what I mean, the reason I don't play them often is because I have no one to play them with. Yeah. If I could play them with you and Dylan and Craig and Dave and everyone comes over, and then when no one's here, I'm like, I'm going to play it online. I'll just play it on my couch. Like, it's instantly better.
What about holographics like Yu-Gi-Oh? Like, you get... Take away the consoles and the computers and all that, but you get your, I don't know, sized board with your card reader at the end of it, and you slot the card in, and it goes, whoop, little hologram of whatever you just put in. Like a mini version of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, that'd be really cool. We're talking like with game. Like that would be very expensive and in person. It'd be like the holo chest in Star Wars.
Yeah.
The only problem is they'd be very easy to gimp. You could gimp the fuck out of that card if it's a sticker and something. You know, true. All you need to do is the RF reader. And well, in the same way that you can go on eBay and for like $20, you can literally get every amiibo there ever was.
Yeah.
And then they just someone fucking copies it to a chip.
Yeah. But as far as what else I would want, it's probably not much, because I play video games and I enjoy card games. So what Joel suggests is actually fucking
in
perfect.
Terms of the Toys to Life, like, they don't really interest me. Like, amiibos never really interest me. I'm not a big Nintendo guy to begin with. They are well made little figures, but you know what I mean. Like, apart from the two Crash ones that I have back there that were a gift to me anyway, I don't own Skylanders. Like, that's the only reason I have them is because they're cool little Crash figures.
I spent lots on Skylanders a few years ago.
Yeah.
When the boy was right into him. Thankfully he's not anymore.
Well, Jess and Lee, like, they have pretty much all of them, but they've done it on the cheap. They would collect them as pre-owned and sort of pick them
in the big one. Bargain bucket from Mini Games. Yeah.
So they'd you know, every couple of days they'd go in and they end up getting the entire collection just by fishing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so
there's nothing else I'm interested in enough that I would want.
I liked LEGO Dimensions. I liked its potential because LEGO is fucking cool, and they had access to really cool IPs. And it's just a shame that one.
They done fucked. I don't find the LEGO games fun.
I mean, either.
I don't find them enjoyable at all.
I like the IPs more than
they feel clunky. They don't control well. Have you ever played two player split screen?
Yeah.
and it does that weird like wraparound thing. I don't enjoy playing the Lego games at all, so I don't really give a fuck.
So in terms of a choice to life game, no.
X-Files.
Cards to life game, that's Telltale.
Do X-Files toys to life.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You have the Monsters of the Week as your little thing.
Yeah, no, yeah. Give me an X-Files Telltale, but don't give me an X-Files. Like, Toys to Life, eh. Cards to Life, it's kind of cool.
Cards to Life is fucking rad.
But that's not going to be around for a very long time.
No, it's not.
What's coming out this week? Incoming to the players.
3D Mini Golf, PS4 Digital. Agents of Mayhem, PS4 Digital and Retail. City Skylines, PS4 Edition, hey! PS4 Digital. Dark Mystery, PS4 Digital. Defenders of Ekron, PS4 Digital. Eliosi's Hunt, PS4, would you believe it? Digital. The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 2, PS4?
Digital.
Digital, you got it. Matterfall, PS4, Digital. Nidhogg 2, PS4, Digital. Night Trap, 25th Anniversary Edition, PS4, Digital. Observer, PS4, Digital. Paranormal Activity, The Lost Soul, PSVR, Digital. The Pillars of Earth, PS4, Digital. Sonic Mania, PS4, Digital. Sudden Strike, PS4, Digital. And Retail!
Hey!
Tokyo 42, PS4, Digital. And Undertale, PS4, PS Vita, Digital. I thought that was the last one. That's why I emphasized it so much. Zero Escape, Zero Time Dilemma, PS4, Digital. And Retail. Whole lot of nothing, but a fair few somethings.
So there's a couple of interesting.
I'll go down the list.
And so in terms of Agents of Mayhem, I've been getting press releases about that game for ages.
It just looks generic.
It looks like Saints Row, but not Saints Row. And Saints Row was fun, and this does not look fun. City Skylines, we played it when it came to the Xbox. They sent us a copy of that. It was fucking awesome.
You insulted me somehow in that game. What did you do?
We made the Josh Saunders hair memorial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a cemetery that was in memorial of your hair.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Chris Conway, for the name. That was fantastic. Look, City Skylines, fuck ton of fun. I had a really good time with that game. It's weird that it took so long since PS4. But
not enough fun to go back and play it again.
No, I'd go play it again. The problem is because I've played it only on streams, I feel bad going back and playing it on the same world. Okay. Yeah. Matterfall, Housemarque, side-scroller, little cool shooter.
I want to read the thing.
Yep, go ahead.
Blast through explosive waves of contemporary arcade action in this rapid-fire twin-stick shooter. As a hero for hire, survive high-intensity side-scrolling war zones in vertical cities overrun by mysterious smart matter.
So it's twin stick shooting, so it's what Housemarque is known for. It's kind of, it's those who don't know, same people that created Resogun, Ex Machina. I think they did Dead Island as well.
Alienation.
Dead Nation,
Alienation, Ex Machina.
With Dead Nation, Alienation, mm-hmm. and Ex Machina, mm-hmm. they were the top 2.5D twin stick shooters. So this is
absolutely beautiful looking great games.
So this is more of the side scroller style. Mm-hmm. So very similar to Resogun in that way. I've reached out to PlayStation. We do have a copy coming on the way. We should be getting it early next week. Now, depending on what the embargo rules are, I will be certainly streaming that.
Housemarque do good stuff.
They do fucking excellent
stuff. They
do very
good stuff.
Nidhogg 1 was incredibly popular. I never played it myself, but
I can't comment.
I can't. Like, I hear it's good.
Night Trap.
An old VOD game. Not VOD, what's it called?
I know what it is now.
What are they called? Fuck, what are they called?
Jim Sterling did a video on it once.
He did. FMV games.
That's it, yeah. It's like movies.
Full motion video.
Yeah,
yep.
Fucking weird.
It's some weird. And apparently that's weird as shit too.
Another good stream. Paranormal Activity, The Lost Soul. Engineered from conception for VR, The Lost Soul immerses you in a terrifying, realistic environment with haunting atmosphere and the need to survive. With very limited guidance, your free movement enables you to discover the secrets that lie in the House of Horror.
Can you do this one? Because I did the last scary one.
Oh, you little bitch. Having said that, no, I don't really want to, but... that'll be fun. You know, if you get it, or if it's free, or if we can get a press copy or whatever.
Yeah.
Pillars of Earth thing. Yeah. Sonic Mania.
Sonic Mania. Now, this is the one that read out.
Experience the ultimate celebration of past and future in Sonic Mania, an all-new 2D Sonic adventure running at a crisp 60 frames per second with stunning HD retro-style graphics.
So this is Dylan. Dylan, very rarely does Dylan ask about games. He read the other day, he went, hey, can... Can we get Sonic?
Ryan, you know how I don't ask for much.
Yeah. can we get Sonic? I'm like, yeah. I'll see what I can do.
We didn't get it though, did we? The one time you ask for a game and you forget to ask for a copy.
That's why I'll reach out this afternoon.
But I'd arguably the biggest game of the week is Undertale.
I thought this was already out. That's what baffles me.
It was in the news a couple of weeks ago saying it was coming. The PC classic Undertale comes to PS4. Explore a rich RPG world full of strange and delightful characters where violence isn't the only answer. Dance with a slime, pet a dog, whisper your favourite secret to a knight, or ignore all of that and rain destruction upon your foes. The choice is yours, but are you determined enough to prevail? It's a game full of heart and soul. Aww. That's what it is. I mean, it can be. You can go in there and fucking massacre everything if you want. But you can have, I think it's, you have a peaceful playthrough where you can talk your way out of killing. And all, depending on if you're like a murderer or you're peaceful or kind of in the middle, it literally does impact the game, and you can see how it does impact the game overall. It seems to be a really touching story as well. And so many, like Game Theory, that's my favourite channel. I fucking love this game for their theories. There's a lot, like, a lot under the surface to this game as well. And it's actually incredibly dark when you kind of get in there.
So it looks like there's a good conversation that can be had about Undertale.
It would be if we played it.
Speaking of conversations.
Oh, shit. Yep, let me just bring up my little cheat sheet because we keep changing it. If you like that conversation, you can look forward to many more on Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can be if you head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. More conversation happens over on our Facebook community group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. The behind-the-scenes conversation happens over on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Go over there and check out the tiers. There might be something that interests you. And the ongoing conversation happens over on Discord. If you head over to our community Facebook page, there will be a link there, and you can come and join us for some ongoing chit-chat.
Literally chatting everywhere about all sorts of things.
Primarily Overwatch is what we talk about. But no, we got Persona channel, which has died because Josh Anderson seems to have dropped off the face of the earth. we got a card game channel.
Oh, he fell into Breaking Bad, so he's off. He's down the Breaking Bad hole now.
No wonder he seems so upset. Yeah. It's such a sad show.
It's a great show.
But yeah, we can make channels for whatever we want. So it's something you're passionate about.
If you come in and say, hey, I want to talk about Blur. I'm like, you know what? I want to talk about Blur too. Talk about Blur.
In this channel.
I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Waters.
And that was for the players.